Wisdom and Wellness family, welcome to a special episode. Today we are in partnership with Dove and we are having a conversation that is very close to my heart. I think if you've followed my content, you will know I speak a lot about my insecurities. I speak a lot about my skin. I speak a lot about vulnerability. And today we have three incredible women and we're going to talk all things skin, our relationship with our skin, and the role it plays in who we become. It feels like it's one of those things like, how can skin come together with who we become? But I've seen it in my own life, how I feel about my skin and my confidence plays a role in the person I am and how I perform. Starting here, we're going to start with the youngest.
Excellent.
Chilling with Buthali, who's an award-winning poet, actress, speaker, presenter, and her rocket to fame launched at the age of 11. Girl, you've been doing this thing.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And then we've got Lachelle. We met in Cape Town. She's a fashion and lifestyle content creator, passionate about creating a safe space for all women. Welcome.
Hi.
I almost want to say, do you want to introduce your earrings?
My penis. Oh my God. Hi everyone, this is my penis.
We're going to spell it correctly. And lastly, we've got Tando Naves, a mother of three, wife, and you probably know her as Modern Zulu Mom. Welcome.
Thank you, good to be here.
Where does the Zulu come from?
Okay, so I am Zulu. Okay. And
like traditional,
yes,
kind of Zulu girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think with my blog in the beginning, when I was starting my blog, I was just like, okay, now I'm seeing all these, you know, American blogs.
Yeah.
Okay. How can I bring the South African element into it? Okay. And I just thought, oh, yeah.
Okay, guys, we're going to start with icebreakers. I've got them listed here. So I'm just going to go around.
Okay.
You get up and go some.
Oh, it's that Boothang. That one that's like, it's a big
you
on
know
TikTok.
My boo thing.
You do, TikTok, you're on TikTok. You know it.
I'm on TikTok. Why don't
do
I?
Mean, what side of TikTok are you on?
Go salon. Okay. If you no longer had to sleep, right? Like, mm-hmm, sleep wasn't necessary. How would you spend those 8 hours?
Oh my goodness. Probably just like trying out different foods. I'm like, I like to eat.
Eight hours.
Binge eat. Yeah. No, that's I'd okay. be like mukbang style, trying out different foods. I don't know why.
Really?
Like, that'd be me. Yeah.
Is that what you do when you like travel?
Yes. Yes. I have like the bits and pieces. I want to order at least 8 dishes and try them all.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Favorite emoji or meme when you're texting?
Definitely.
Yeah, oh, describe it.
I think it's the one where the face is melting.
Oh, yes!
And I always say that when I'm saying something dodgy.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
Or again, I'm like saying something shady, usually to my sister, then I'll be like,
always to the sister.
The sisters know all the secrets.
Okay. Yeah. But Lali, if you were seated on a plane besides, mm-hmm, your favorite celebrity or someone you look up to, who would it be? And what
oh,
would you
this
ask them?
Is hard. Oh my goodness. That's hard.
I know.
I think I'd go with Oprah Winfrey.
What would you ask her?
I don't know what I'd ask her. Oh my goodness.
Or would you just like freeze and like hope?
Yeah, I feel like I would. And then I'd just be like, I'm a really huge fan. You've wasted all this time. But no, yeah, I think it'd be Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
Yeah. Last Maybe one. I'd ask her what her favorite book is. Oh my goodness. I love her like book reviews and everything. Yeah.
Last one here, Tando. If you dropped everything right now work-wise and go on a road trip, where would you go?
Oh my gosh. It has to be Blue Waters.
Where's that?
No, it has to be a place with blue water.
Oh, okay.
So I'll probably choose. I've seen pictures of Cancun in Mexico.
Road trip.
Driving there. Oh, wow. I've never been to Clarence.
Where's Clarence?
It's Free State. Yeah, Free State.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something new.
Yeah, it looks, it's lovely.
No blue waters there, but yeah, lots of nature and very scenic.
Yeah.
Last one now.
Okay.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up?
Oh, it's bad.
Your phone.
I check my phone. I check my phone, but also then I will pick up my Kindle. Like, I've been reading a lot.
Do you read? Do you prefer like online reading, not like pages?
I was so particular about only wanting to read a physical book because I just loved the process of it.
Yeah.
But then my husband was, I think, didn't know what to buy me for Christmas 1 year. And then he just bought me a Kindle and I was like, well, I have it. Aww. I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
And now it's my favorite thing that I own. honestly, it's the best. I've also bought like random little accessories. I'm like one of those Kindle people now.
Yeah.
I bought accessories.
I didn't even know there is a Kindle.
I didn't know you could get that.
No, me too. I thought there's just an app, the Kindle app. I didn't know there's an actual Kindle.
You can buy it on it's like a little tablet. I have it in my bag, right over there. No, I brought it with me because I read it in the line, wherever I am, I just whip it out.
And what are you reading? What are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading, there's a Magnolia Parks series. So there's like 4 books in the series. Mm-hmm. And it just follows this group of friends. It's basically like Gossip Girl, but like the UK version of Gossip Girl.
Nice. Sounds interesting.
It is really cool.
Guys, let's get into our conversation. And I'm going to ask all three of you this specific question. But when you were younger, what kind of relationship did you have with your skin? And I'll start by sharing my story. And I just, it's actually insane how as you get older, like you remember events in your life.
Yeah.
And I remember a specific moment at like, I think around age of 5, 6. And I got into a fence, right? And my whole skin was scarred, like badly scarred. And I remember thinking, geez, is this how I'm going to look for the rest of my life?
Sure.
And I remember, like, I pinpoint that moment. I'm like, I think that's like the first time I actually thought about my skin and how it matters.
Mm.
So I'm going to throw the question to you guys. What kind of relationship did you have with your skin?
Sure. With my skin, similar to you, actually, I actually had a fall as well. And I have a scar that you can still see on my face. And I think I was around 11.
Sure.
So I was quite conscious of that. But another thing I was conscious of, I think, was the complexion of my skin.
Really?
I was just aware of it.
Yeah.
Just because it was something that I think people constantly commented on.
Okay.
You know, like, oh, your sister and your mother are fairer than you.
Oh.
But I think going into my teenage years, then, you know, obviously you start having your pimples and you start having your pigmentation and your marks. So it was always something I was like conscious of.
Yeah.
But yeah, thankfully, I think after children, I think my hormones just balanced out.
Yeah. It's wild to me that you should mention that you're conscious of your skin color because your family was fairer, and I'm like looking at you.
I know, right?
You a pretty light-skinned girl, but you realize that it actually exists within families. And in the time we grew up in, it was like such a big thing that your skin is this color and this one's skin is this color.
Mm.
But yeah, Butlali, your relationship with your skin?
Yeah, I think I really didn't have a positive relationship with my skin. I had tons of insecurities, but also I think for me, a lot of that was contributed because of bullying. So I was bullied a lot, like through my primary years, right? And I think similar to you, then teenagehood really for me is where I was fully conscious because I used to be a dancer. So most of the time when I leotards because it's ballet and this, and then I started to have stretch marks and my skin was breaking out and everything. And that's when I'd even pick on my skin, like physically, you know? So yeah, I think growing up, primary and teenage years was not the best relationship.
Sure.
And then a lot of the work happened then going into like later high school and varsity years.
When you think of your time, like even growing up, do you think of it as it was such a sad time of my life? Or are you able to say, actually, I had a great childhood outside of the bullying and all of that? Or is your whole life kind of attached to, well, I was just bullied and I was not confident in my skin?
Sure, that's a really good question. I think the thing for me is I almost put everything into sections, right? It was like, I was like, I don't think I'm the prettiest girl and I don't feel beautiful, but I'm smart and I'm talented. So these are fine. Like, I'm okay with not being beautiful, which I think no child should have to feel like that.
Sure.
But I think it didn't fully then affect my confidence because I was like, at least I'm getting great grades, you know, and at least I think I'm really good at like my talents and my gifts and everything else. So yeah, I think it was
It's so crazy that you should say that. I remember even at the Dove, at the event, the self-confidence event that we had with Dove, and a girl stood up and I think she said something like that I might not be the most beautiful girl, but I at least know I'm smart. And it's like, that shouldn't be a thing. Like, no one.
So sad.
It's so sad that anyone should have to feel like, I know I'm not pretty,
But it's, yeah. Yeah.
And it's normally an external source, right?
It is.
Not necessarily something your parents tell you or, you know, something you tell yourself. It's mostly someone else has said something.
And then you just like start believing it that, okay, it means I'm not
the pretty girl.
Fit in here. And the harsh reality is it could be a random little kid at school and it's something that just sticks with you.
Yeah.
And like your brain then continues to tell you that, even though it's like one random little kid at school in primary school that you're still carrying with you your whole life. Late 30s.
It becomes an identity. Yeah. And your relationship with your skin?
I mean, it was an interesting one. I started out when I was a baby, I was covered in eczema. Like, I was a cute baby once the eczema, like, moved itself off of me to a certain extent. But, like, there's this photo of myself and my cousin because we were born in the same month. And I was just covered in these red, like, dots everywhere, which... not a great start, but like we've moved on from there. I mean, I still have eczema on my hands, but it's definitely more manageable. And then similarly, like the race thing comes in for me because my dad is colored and my mom is white. So then my sister and I look different. My sister looks more colored and I look more white. Like my sister looks exactly like my dad and I look very similar to my mom, but just with like a little bit of a darker complexion.
Yeah.
So it was something that was always compared with the two of us. And even growing up, like my gran would say to my mom, we must put SPF on that baby, on to my sister, because she was like, she can't get any darker. My mom's mom, obviously, because my dad's mom was colored, so she was fine.
Yeah.
So I think my relationship with my skin has grown, and it's even the insecurities have grown, weirdly. Like they evolve and they change. So then... from the eczema, I used to have eczema on the insides of my arms as well. And it bugged me. And I was always just like, oh, don't look at it in primary school. But then in high school, my skin doesn't stretch well.
It's just like, I'm staying here. Whether you go down or up, I'm staying here.
Then it became like, I literally got my first stretch mark in grade 12. And I had no idea that it was a stretch mark. I was sitting with my friends and they were like, they were talking about, they had these ones on the side. And I was like, oh no, because they were talking about how it starts and I didn't have any stretch marks yet. And then they were like, oh, but no, that is a stretch mark. Because I lifted up my top and I was like, is this a stretch mark? And they were like, yes. Because it was like red and I was like, no, not me. But then I've learned to like...
Get comfortable.
Get used to it or get comfortable with it.
Is there any specific moment in your life that led to your career choices? I mean, you advocate for self-acceptance, self-love, and obviously you're in the front, you're on TV, you're doing poetry. Is there a specific moment that led to you making that career choice?
Sure. I don't know. I don't know if I could pinpoint to a specific moment. I always say that for me, because I grew up in... like a small village, right? Poverty-stricken village, right? So for me, it was always about breaking the cycles of poverty, you know? And I mean, I think the arts and everything else found me along the way. But for me, it was either it's going to be academically or this or that. But whatever career choice was for me to just break out. But yeah, I think there's been moments along the way. I mean, even through like Essays Got Talent, that opened doors for so many other things. And then even moving into the beauty space and the self-confidence space, I think that for me was then affirming that young girl who struggled in terms of like body confidence and all of that. And so I don't want my sister or other kids to have to grow up like that. I want them to be fully empowered growing up, you know?
Just to piggyback on that, when did you realize that you are living in poverty and to make that almost a thing of, okay, I have to break out of this because this is my circumstance. And I think as kids, you don't realize, like, you're just like, this is what we have, this is life.
It always amazes me, right? I'm like, the younger, I mean, I think I'm still pretty smart, but I think the younger self was so smart. I was like, I feel like I was a bit, that young girl was really, really smart, right? I mean, the entire community, we grew up at my grandmother's house where it's like aunts and uncles and that. And no one's working. The only person, the only source of income was then my grandmother and the pension, right? So from the meals you were having to the schools and everything else, right? But I think also my mom was a big inspiration, right? Because my mom was the first generation to graduate and all of that, but even later on in life, right? So I think my surroundings, and then for me, I was always a big dreamer, like from a young age. Like I lived in my head and I would like imagine, you know, and the reference points obviously used to be the people that like I would read about, the people on television. I'm like, oh my goodness.
This is life.
Yeah. Like you're watching Top Billing and you're like, this is the house that I want to live in, right? Sure. So from the young age, I was just always dreaming. And then literally from early as in primary school, I was already looking at like scholarships. I knew about scholarships. Sure. I was like, mom, we need to look into this. Let's look for schools in Joburg, because Joburg was the big thing. I mean, you come from the small town, you want to go to Joburg, right? So I think that little kid was very self-aware. Like I was aware of my surroundings and I knew that this is not the life I want.
Yeah.
And I want to be the change for myself, for my family, for my community.
Yeah, and there's more. Yeah. Love that. Tanda, you're a mom of three, and I've experienced two pregnancies. One was very traumatic. For me, like, my skin was such a huge issue. I remember my whole career taking off at a time where I was physically changing. And for the first time in my life, I identified as ugly. Like, I never thought I'm an ugly girl or anything. I was always very, very confident. My parents were very affirming, and my environment was affirming. And then my first pregnancy, everything changed. And now I'm in front of the camera. And so I want to know, how have your pregnancies been and how did they affect your self-esteem and the changes in your skin from facially to even just the stretches, your breasts changing, all of those changes? How did it affect you and how did you deal?
So I fell pregnant with my first child when I was 21.
Yeah.
And with that journey, I felt it came with a bit of shame. It came with a lot of shame.
A lot of shame.
Although I'd finished university and I was working, I was still young. I was unmarried. So for a lot of that part of pregnancy, when I see my skin changes, when I see my body changing, I felt like I couldn't really go to anyone, to talk about it and say, can I expect this? Mm. Is this normal? How do you deal with this? So I think for the first pregnancy, I was very much dealing with everything by myself.
Sure.
And I remember still after having my first baby and noticing like how my stomach changed, my color of my skin was very dark, right? And I kept scrubbing and scrubbing, you know?
Really?
No, I was like scrubbing, thinking like maybe they put something on my tummy. You know, I didn't have the information, bearing in mind that this was 2008.
Yeah.
But I didn't really have enough information. That actually was the inspiration for my blog to say, let me start having these conversations to tell women that, you know, these are some of the things that you can expect.
Yeah.
But, you know, like my body didn't change that much after my first child.
Yeah.
With my second child, my body and my skin stretched the most.
Yeah.
I carried quite big for my daughter. And I have this abdominal separation.
One thing about daughters.
They will come.
They will come. Yeah.
And my abdominal stretch. So even for a long time afterwards, you know, still looking pregnant with your skin still looking stretched, having more and more stretch marks because I, gained more weight.
Mm.
But I think I was at a place in my life where I was a bit more confident and, you know, slowly even online started, you know, sharing pictures of my stretch marks to say, this is what motherhood looks like.
Because
for some reason, people just don't expect mothers to change. You know, you go through this whole journey of bringing life, but we expect it to look, to feel, to be the exact same way. That we were before, Mina and you've just gone through this whole transformational journey.
Sure.
You know, there's still things that you wish, I wish I could change this, I wish I could do that. But I think overall, the acceptance of the body, I always think, okay, how would I want my daughter to feel about her body?
Yeah.
How would I want her to feel about herself and, you know, trying to be that example?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I don't feel certain things, you know, at certain times. But really, I think my skin is just ebbed, flowed, stretched so much. And it's still like, it's just constant work. And it's part of the self-love journey, right? That you just have to each and every day affirm yourself, and just accept who you are.
I also think part of the journey now I'm starting to think is not to get to a place where you love everything. Because I feel like at some point that was the goal. Like you need to get to a place where you just love everything and everything's perfect. And I think that in itself is flawed because It's not realistic.
It's not realistic. There's going to be things that we're just not happy about, and that should be normalized. It doesn't change your self-perception or your self-confidence. It's just, I wish I had better toes. I just wish I had better fingers.
Yeah.
Is it going to affect my whole day? No, but it's just the truth of how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lachelle, you champion body positivity, right? And do you recall that moment when you realized that, oh, actually, I'm making an impact. This is an actual thing. Like, when you started out, were you going for, I'm going to show body positivity, or you got to a point where you said, you know what, this is me, and take it as it is, and then you just realize that, oh, okay, this is actually important.
I definitely didn't go into it expecting that this is where my content would go, what I would be sharing online. I started out doing beauty and makeup content, and then it's just evolved from there, and my content is now just an extension of me. It's just sharing my personality and my life and everything else with a portion of the world.
Yeah.
A little bit of the world. I didn't go into it already confident in my body. I was sharing little things. So I hated going to the beach for so long because I didn't like the sand, but mostly deep down what I reflected on it, it was more just I didn't like how I felt at the beach. I felt like people were looking at me, or I wasn't the skinniest person or the most beautiful person, or my skin didn't look quite as smooth as that person's. But then I realized that I just loved being in the ocean. And so I started sharing that, not thinking that it was going to be this like body positive activism thing. It was just me like actually learning to love certain parts of myself or accept certain parts of myself. It wasn't love at that point. And I didn't even think, because I wasn't following any body positive people. Like, not one.
So all you're just seeing is people who look the way you're supposedly supposed to.
My aspirational body, when in reality I'm never going to have legs like Naomi Campbell. Ever. They're so short. Like, this is what I've got to work with, you know? And I was just learning to figure out my body and, like, accept certain things. And then people would send me a message and be like, oh, it's so nice to see someone that looks like me in a costume at the beach, just living their life and being happy. And initially I hated it, because it felt, as much as they were seeing themselves in me, I felt like it was a negative. Because I wanted someone skinny to be like, you look like me. But like, listen, that was not going to happen. It was not going to happen. And I worked so hard in my teens to be like
skinny.
But it's just, it's not my build.
You spoke about you spent most of your high school trying to be skinny. So I can imagine you had a thing with diet culture, right? And how is that now? Because I feel like we try to tell stories of, oh, I've overcome now, and now I'm just happy and I'm not conscious. But are you there yet? Or do you still find yourself in moments where you feel like, actually, maybe it's time now. Let's try change this body again. Or are you like, where are you at?
I don't think there's a destination of like there. Do you know what I mean? I don't think there's that end destination of I love everything about my body and about my life and about my personality. I think we're always evolving and changing, and that's the goal for me. But to answer your question, I think I'm currently in the phase where I'm like, I can learn to love my body and embrace my body, but still look after it. Still be healthy, still exercise, still feel comfortable in spaces like the gym. Because for so long I would just avoid the gym because I didn't see people that look like me, because people online will be like, not to me, because I have a great audience. They're so nice. They would write in comments of like plus size women in the comments, be like, you need to go to the gym. But then when someone is in the gym, they're like, oh, you're too fat to be at the gym. And you're like, where should I go? Should I go? Should I not go? Like, how do I not fix this problem? Because it's not a problem that needs to be fixed. It's just, I want to find the healthiest version of myself. Healthy mentally and physically. Because sometimes striving for that perfect physical, like optimized version of yourself means that you're neglecting the mental side of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I feel like for the last 5-6 years, I've been working a lot on the mental side of things and trying to figure out, why do I think I need to wear vertical stripes only?
Sure.
Or why should I, you know, cinch in the waist or cover up these parts of my bodies? Mm. So I worked on the mental, and now I'm like, I finally feel like I can work on the physical in a healthy way and not like starve myself for the entire day, not go back to my high school version of myself where that, and the thing is that that voice does still come up. It does still say to me when my stomach is rumbling and it's 4 p.m. and I'm like, haven't eaten. Should I just drink the water? Should I just have water rather?
Sure.
Like my brain will still do that to me.
Yeah.
And I have to either fight it or decide that I'm going to fall back into that version of myself, which I'm not willing to do.
Yeah.
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 It's not worth it. For me, it's with filters.
Mm.
I realized, and I've never used like dramatic filters just because I don't like them.
Mm.
But I realized a time in my life where every time I open my Instagram, I automatically go to filters.
Yeah.
And it became so normal. And then there was a specific moment where I went and I didn't want to use a filter. And I was just like, whoa. Who's this? Yeah. And I literally decided in that moment from now on, and I think it's about a year or two now, that I will not use filters anymore, because it's just distorting how we feel and how we look. Nothing wrong with filters. Mm-hmm. Filters are great. They're funny. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. Great. But when it starts impacting your everyday life, then it's a problem.
I think there are those filters where it's fun and cute and whatever, and you use them.
That's how it started. Like we had like bunnies.
Yeah.
And the next step, we're contouring the eyelashes. And eyelashes all the time.
And it's like the ones that hurt the most, I think, are the most, they make the most subtle changes to your face.
Yeah.
Like you're looking, you're like, this is me.
Yeah.
But then actually your skin is blurred. Your face is slightly slimmed.
Yeah.
Your lips are just a little bit bigger.
Just the tiniest bit.
Yeah.
And it makes you question, should I rather look like this? Is this my best version on a daily basis? Having that available to you is tough.
Unrealistic. Mm. But Lali, growing up in the spotlight from such a young age, and as an adult, I've been sort of in the spotlight on social media for like 5 years, and I'm feeling the impact, right? Mm. And I'm like, okay, it's a lot, because you constantly almost have to show up as the best, the filter version of you. How did it impact your self-esteem? Especially if you're like on screen and you've got makeup on.
Yeah.
But it's like makeup that's not makeup. But like, it's a nicer version of you. And then you have to go out in your everyday life and it's like, oh, there's no set. There's no crew anymore. So how has it impacted your self-esteem and your self-confidence?
Sure. I would say for me, in terms of growing up in the spotlight and my relationship with self-esteem, I actually feel like it forced me to sort of confront my insecurities, if anything, right? So because also with being in the spotlight, there's so many opinions.
Yeah.
On you, hear what I'm saying? Like,
you how you're supposed to
be. Literally, people were telling, I mean, when I started acting, what was that? Like a 13, 14 year old Botale, like, you're ugly, you're this, you're that on social media. Gosh. So people have so much to say about you, about the way you look, about your work and everything. So I think for me, it got to a point where I was like, okay, I have to recognize that the voices will always be there. People will always have an opinion. So I actually have to do the internal work so that all those people's opinions don't affect me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And I would have easily quit, because then someone told me I'm actually not that great at poetry. Then I could have really believed that opinion, right? Sure. Or someone told me my face is not for TV. So I could have believed that, right? So I think for me, that was the push, like the accelerating force to confronting all these insecurities that I feel like I just packed away with my childhood. I was like, yeah, okay, I don't need to be beautiful. Yeah. Like, that's fine. Yeah. But now it was then streaming into my work and into this life that I want, right? Which is in the spotlight. Mm. Or what comes with what I want, which is being a creative. Yeah. But
what does that look like? The confronting of your insecurities. And I'm asking because for me, there was a time where I think I went on a challenge where I've had to look in the mirror.
Yeah,
and
I was about to say.
And like, I had to appreciate this time in health that delivered those babies. Mm-hmm. And like the first 3 days, it's daunting. Yeah. It's like, girl, who are you trying to yeah. But for you, how does it even look like right now? Is it an ongoing thing? Or do you do like 10-day challenges like I do?
Yeah. It firstly started with those things that so many people think were being silly, even when we share on social media. Yeah. It's even things that I share even with my little sisters. Like those silly things such as affirming yourself every single day. Like sometimes you're like, I love my forehead, but back then I hated my forehead. But like when you say it by the 10th time, you actually start to believe. It's like something in your brain switches, right? So it started with those small things such as affirming oneself and being able to just look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, or like standing completely naked. That's like, that's like strong. Being able to be so vulnerable, stand naked in front of the mirror and pick on the parts that before you used to pick on and say negative things towards and say positive things towards, right? Yeah. But I think the bulk work for me happened through journaling. I think journaling for me was life-changing. I think because of poetry and writing, words always carry so much resonance for me, right? So I started to fully be honest about all these things that I was feeling and journaling them out, right? And acknowledging that all of these things are feelings and emotions and ideas that I'd created in my head. And it's okay. Yeah. As I'm writing, I'm releasing them onto the paper, right? Yeah. And not every day is perfect. Yeah. I mean, tomorrow someone else might say something and maybe that might affect me, but it doesn't affect me the way, like it doesn't alter how I think of myself now. I acknowledge that that's just an opinion. And the emotion I feel is sad, but tomorrow is a different day type thing, you know what I'm saying? And I can easily disregard that because I'm now, I've created a strong foundation of self and knowing myself and my own identity.
I love
that. So yeah, but those small little things, like find the things that work for you. Some people do it through like, I had a friend who listened to like music that was related to like just like positivity and everything and just because it's all of these things that you consume, all of these if you have to cut out social media then do that as well, right? Because it's all here, it's all mental.
I in the beginning of the year I had picked up a bit of weight and I pick up my weight in my upper body, right? And I used to love crop tops and like
spaghetti straps
and everything. But then I started watching my podcast back, like when I wear something that shows my full arm, then I'm conscious and then it affects how I do my work. And I said, you know, the honesty is that maybe they're not that bad and maybe I'm exaggerating. However, I don't feel comfortable. And so I just stopped wearing stuff that makes me feel uncomfortable while I go to the gym, work on my back, and just appreciate it. But the truth is, I'm not comfortable with how it looks. I don't like it. But when I wear a top that is flattering, I'm like, okay, girl, you're doing well. And that's just the balance. And that's why I said in the beginning, maybe the goal is not to reach this place where everything is perfect. Yeah. But it's like an ebb and flow. It's like, okay, I like this, but I also don't like this.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It doesn't change me. It doesn't make me an ungrateful person.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of where I am. But I can do that without every day saying, oh, you should be better. Look at this one, you know? I think when comparison comes in, then it's like, it's a problem. But when we face ourselves head on, like is it self-awareness?
Self the truth.
It's true.
Yeah, just acknowledge it to yourself.
Yeah.
Tando, and going back to what Bukhlali was talking about, growing up in the spotlight, your kids are on social media, right? Yeah. And for me, it's a beautiful but a tricky aspect. It's like we need that representation. We need to see black boys and a black girl thriving and being confident. However, how is it impacting them, their self-esteem, or they're not there yet? And when is a good time to start talking to them about, look, you're in the spotlight. And also, you have to take care of yourself. You're growing up. Your son is a teenager. When do those conversations start taking place?
Sure. I think definitely in the pre-teen phase, I think that's when I noticed like my son was now, can you please buy me deodorant? Is he
the one who's having the conversation?
And you know, you pick up those things and you say, okay, let's have the conversation. This is what's happening with your body. This is, you know, the changes that you can expect. But I think in terms of the social media element, I think my son's a teenager now. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we started having the conversation saying, this is my platform. This is what it does. This is what it means.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I've got an opportunity for you, you can choose if you want to take it or not. More these days, he's choosing not to. I think he's just, yeah, he's developing into his own person.
Yeah.
He's turning 15. I think that's the education part, I think, is very important.
Yeah.
And I always say that I don't want my children to learn about things of the world from the world.
From the world. Yeah.
Let the conversation start at home. Let's have the open conversations from home, and then you ask me the question. I want to be the person that actually provides the right information, because especially online, looking at how people will say this is how you look, and
blur out their
opinions, so I think that conversation and that esteem building really starts from home.
Yeah.
And I think when kids have, are at an age where you can have a conversation with them, whether or not they want to, then I think that's very important, and it's important to respect that.
Yeah.
Mm. And just let them be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old's your daughter?
She's 7.
And when have you started having this is a skincare routine conversation? Because I realized with my daughter, she loves being clean, right?
Yeah.
And so she came into my room when I was taking a shower, and she was telling me that she put body lotion and spray on her doll. Is this an actual good thing? Because cleanliness is very, very important for our children. But where is also the line of, okay, mom, it's not that important? So the conversation with your daughter, where you're at, since she's like a 7-8-year-old, yeah.
Okay, so she loves copying, doing whatever mom's doing.
Yeah.
So I think the showers, the daily routine, she really loves doing. But I think just in teaching about the cleanliness has just come from her, I think, mostly watching me and her knowing the habits, I want to try that. Mm. And just, I was just thinking about Dove for a moment there, that my aunt, who was much younger than the rest of my aunts, she felt more like a cousin.
Yes.
I remember she had freckles. So she looked very different, in our family, and she's the person that introduced me to the Dove Beauty Bar. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, just thinking back now as a child, I looked at that and I thought, she's just a beautiful woman. And and now as an adult, I probably think she probably had, some insecurities about it.
Yeah.
But I just always just referenced and just thought about her in that light with the beauty bar. And I just always think, okay, my daughter's watching me and, I need to be that example. Yeah. Mm. So we talk about it, this is the cleanliness, these are the habits that we have, and the, school reinforces it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also part of our fun time. Okay. So she'll always say, okay, let's have a spa date at home spa. And then we take our soap and make foam. But I just think that she's into it and she's aware, and she's really, really interested in what does mommy do? And trying
one
to mimic
thing about
that.
Our kids, I don't know what we were doing. Oh, my kid had a school concert. And so whenever something important is happening, I do my nails.
Oh.
Like my nails on my thing.
Yes.
And she said to me, oh, mom, I need to go do my nails.
Oh, wow.
There's a concert.
Because I'll take her once in a while. Like, it's our thing, like what you're saying. Yeah. Mommy, when you see your mom and it's like
bonding
a
time.
Thing.
Yeah.
So we do it once in a while. But now she wants it to be a monthly thing.
And you're like, wow, I got an occasion.
But Lali, what's your morning routine? Your morning routine and your skincare routine?
Yeah. I think for me, because of how fast-paced our industry is, right, I always seek convenience. I'm something that can work fast and I'm out of the house, right? And for me, one key thing that I always recommend, even with my friends, is definitely the Dove Beauty Bar, right? Because you can use it on your face, you can use it on your body. So it works and it cleanses and it's so nourishing and smells so good. So that for me is the one thing that I'm in, out, I'm good.
Yeah. Which is a good travel buddy.
Yes. So convenient.
Perfect.
You can pack it into anything.
Yeah.
What
is the one thing you never ever leave out when nourishing and taking care of your skin?
One thing I never leave out is cleansing my skin, because I feel like it's when you're a mom or you're busy, it's the first thing that you don't do, because you're like, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I just want to lie down and not wash out my face.
Yeah.
So that's number one. But even just in the shower, same thing, a good body wash that makes me feel a specific way. I love what you said about having a different scent
for every different feeling.
Every feeling that you need, because we have enough.
Yeah.
There's so many to choose from.
Yeah.
But mine is 100%, my top tip for myself and specifically my body care, because I'm like a reptile dry, like very dry. Yeah, that's one thing my dad passed down. Didn't pass down the pigmentation, but he passed down the dry skin.
The dry skin, yeah.
So my husband doesn't understand it, but I'm moisturized all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it works. My skin is smooth skin and beautiful. Amazing. My mom even is like, every time she touches me, she's like, girl, skin is so nice.
Yeah.
But moisturizing, making sure that I am, my skin is nourished so that it can stretch or
do what it grow needs to
or
do.
Get smaller, whatever it does.
Yeah.
It's nourished, so it can do that.
Love that.
We're going to go to our wall of wisdom, and each of you are going to answer this question. Okay, so you're going to give me a podcast you recommend, book you recommend, and an Instagram account that you recommend.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
So many.
Okay. A podcast I recommend is Wisdom and Wellness.
Come on, you're not allowed to recommend.
I think another one that I love Joyce Meyer.
Joyce Meyer,
Love her. And then a book. That is so hard. Oh my goodness, I read tons of books.
Love it. What a flex.
But I think The Alchemist. I don't know.
Yes.
There's something there. Like The Alchemist. Yeah, I think everyone has to read it. Yeah. Just once.
But the timing matters. It matters when you read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just not ready for it. But you should read it, I think. Yeah.
And then an Instagram account.
Yeah.
That's so tricky. Oh my goodness.
That you enjoy. That just makes you feel like, gives you a little sunshine.
I love Dine with Neil. I love her cooking.
Yeah, you love food.
I love food. I do. Okay. Yeah, so I think Dine with Neil.
Love it.
Yeah.
Tando?
I have to think about the Instagram one.
Okay.
But yeah, I think my explore page is full of more your wellness kind of quotes. Yeah. I think that I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
A book I would recommend, Awakened by Nonkululeko Kopoto.
The book is going to be very hard.
Okay.
I'm in my mind, I'm flicking through all my Kindle books. But I recently read a book. You'll have to put it somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know where.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I'll send it to you afterwards because I don't know the name. But it was about a woman who is child-free and happy with the decision.
Sure.
Because it was in a phase where I was trying to figure it out. And it was just interesting to see it from, like, in a fictional character.
Yeah.
She's actually happy with the decision. And a podcast is probably Brené Brown's podcast. Yes. Because I have hugely had to learn how to be vulnerable and be okay with vulnerability. And to teach the people around me how to do it as well.
Sure.
In a positive, non-manipulative way.
Yeah, sure.
Because you can use vulnerability
as a
manipulative. What was the last one? Book?
Instagram.
Yeah. The button. Sorry.
What?
That's TikTok.
Oh, the button.
Is it on Instagram? It's gonna fade. No, that wasn't my answer.
Oh, okay.
It seems kind of cliche because she doesn't post as much, but like Ashley Graham, just for the sake of when I first started creating body positive content, I found her and I was like, this is amazing.
She inspired my podcast.
Really?
Yeah, when I saw her podcast, I was like,
that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
She's just so unapologetically herself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like, even after she's had her shadow son and then she had the twins, right?
Yeah.
I think it was... I think so, somewhere.
Yeah.
And her body changed so much. Yeah. And I was on the edge of my seat after she had the twins because I was so intrigued about how her stance on body positivity what her changes in her body would look like and how she would handle them. And it was just so beautiful.
Love her. I want to quickly sit on, you mentioned the book about reading on a fictional character about the decision of not having kids, and we spoke about it in Cape Town, so I'm glad you mentioned that. How was that journey? And I know we ended, but I feel like I need to touch on it because it's such an important conversation. How has that journey been? Have you found yourself convincing that I should probably have kids because when I'm like 50 years old I'll be lonely and all the voices around me and everything I see is just kids, or have you always been like, honestly, this is my truth and I'm sticking by it?
No, growing up, and even when we got married,
yeah,
not wearing my ring, but I am married.
She is married.
married.
not going through anything. You're good.
People will question, eh? You're good. We always had this thing of we're going to wait. We're going to see within 3 to 5 years if we're ready to have kids. Mm. So my, because the people that I was surrounded with were friends and their parents.
Yeah.
My mom didn't have any friends that didn't have kids.
Yeah.
So it's a completely new environment for me. And I think there's a lot more people speaking about it now, which is really helpful because then you feel less alone.
Yeah.
And I love children. But I also, I don't know that I'm going to have my best life if I choose to have my own kids.
Sure.
I love my sister's kids. Like I love them like they're my own kids. And the reality is with her being across the world in America, I wouldn't have been able to go and visit and help when she had both of her children if I had kids of my own.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to go and see them for Christmas.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to be there for birthdays because my life would be rooted to these tiny humans. Yeah. And yes, I want to see what my husband and I would look like in a tiny human, but like, do I want it enough to commit to this lifelong decision? It's not until 18 or 21.
Yeah.
You have it's these like kids your whole life. Yeah. And also even just the tying back to the skin you're in, like it's learning to love this new version of yourself instead of consistently being like, but you at 21, you only ever thought of having this family.
Yeah.
But you at 30 or 31, I just turned 31. it's okay that I want something different, and I'm happy to embrace and love all these different versions of myself and the skin that I'm in. And
I
think it's such an important conversation, and not just about not having kids, but the kids conversation. I think on social media there's a whole of when are you having the next one, when are you having the next one. And I get that people can come from a good place, but there's so many factors to consider. It's not just the cute photo shoots. It's, does my lifestyle fit this?
Yeah.
Am I willing to make the sacrifice? Can I actually afford it? Am I going to have the emotional capacity to raise amazing children? So I feel like it's conversations we should really start having versus 10, 15 years ago where it's just like, when are you having a child? Do you have the ability to raise an emotionally... I mean, things are going to happen. We're going to hurt our kids, whatever. But for the most part, like...
You want to instill great things in your children rather than just hoping it's going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. My last question from my wall of wisdom. This one looks a little different than it normally does. Mm-hmm. You're going to finish the sentence. My skin...
is growing, evolving, changing, just like I am.
Ah, my skin is growing, evolving, changing, just like I am. That's liberating.
We're not stuck. We're not stuck. We're moving.
And nothing gets stuck.
Yeah.
The only constant thing is change.
Kelly,
my skin?
My skin carries me through life's journey and experiences and allows me to fully...
Sure.
Now I'm taking it long, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm thinking of poetically. But yes, I think my skin allows me to function and exist.
Yeah.
I think
that's a nice way of looking at our skin, that it's more than just the aesthetic of it, but it's it carries us.
Yeah.
It's our
largest organ.
It's our container.
Yeah.
I think my skin is inclusive. It's not inclusive of every race or every skin type or whatever, but it is inclusive to some people to see someone that has stretch marks or eczema or tattoos. Not everyone loves them, which is fine. I think I like,
my inclusive. Skin is inclusive. Love that. Ladies, thank you so much for this conversation. I know it feels so short. Like, I feel like I want to go, but I just looked at the time like, guys, we've been going for more than an hour. But thank you so much. And thank you to Dove for partnering with us on such important conversations where we wish we had these conversations growing up, that it's okay to be different, like you said. It's okay to grow in your skin. It's okay to not feel good about it all the time, but more than anything, it carries us. We love it and we need to take care of it. And so I hope you enjoyed this episode from the Wisdom and Wellness podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.